Media.
Good morning, Delmarva. Welcome to Coastalini. I'm your host, Michael Sprouse, and we are broadcasting live from the incredible Browse About Books, located at 133 Rehoboth Avenue in the heart of downtown Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. You were in the house of Sprouse, and we are going to take a jump to the creative side of the surf. Hey, you can check all of us out on our Facebook page, fingers crossed. We have good Wi-Fi right now at facebook.com/coastalae. All of this is possible thanks to our amazing sponsors, the residences of Lighthouse Cove, Dewey Beach, Cuvée Ray Wine Bar and Restaurant, Charles Messina Plumbing, Electric and HVAC, Sprouse Thompson Real Estate Associates, and Peninsula Fine Art and Custom Framing in Lewis. And listen, you can call or text at 302-839-1059 if you have questions about things connected to our guest today, or just a random question. Rob Sussman's here. He's doing
hello,
the
hello.
Board.
Yes.
Hey, Rob, hello. How are you?
It's great to be here. Yeah, this is the first time I've been on this program.
Yes, it is. I'm a mighty hearty welcome to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Because, you know, we have a good vibe already. I think we're going to have to, like, do
it's
some
the shirts.
Time.
We both have the Hawaiian
we
shirts
do.
Going on.
We do. We're both
and
wearing
honestly,
Hawaiian
that's
shirts.
What it's all about.
I think it's like we're like separated at birth type of thing. Except I'm, like, way older. That would have been a very difficult labor, probably. For somebody. But anyway, so listen, we also have here in the house the beautiful, talented, charming Savannah Shockley. Welcome, Savannah.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here, too. It's nice to be able to meet you.
It's so good to meet you as well. Thank
I know.
You.
I've heard so much about your performing. Of course, I know your father and your uncle and the Shockley mm-hmm. music family, which is something we're going to talk about this hour on the air because you're definitively part of that.
Yes.
You play in the band, the Savannah Band, which is you and your father, I believe.
Yep, yep.
And he couldn't be here today because he's got lots
crazy
of things
schedule,
going on.
Yep.
Crazy schedule. You guys have two gigs tonight.
We do. We are so booked. We have this, and then we have Seaside Grill at 2 to 5 in Long Neck. And then we have Cuvée Ray's tonight here in Rehoboth, 8 to 10:30.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we've
that's
got
exciting.
Quite the day.
Cuvée Ray. That's
yes.
a great place. It's a great place to see to see live music.
Mm-hmm.
And you've played there before, correct?
Yes. This is like, I think, our second summer playing there.
Wow. So, nice. When did you start performing with your father in the Savannah Band?
We started in 2017, so like 3 years ago. And we've played over like 150 gigs around the area together.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been really awesome. Really awesome time.
150 gigs. That's a lot. That keeps you busy. That's in 1 year?
Keeps me busy in 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Probably over.
We'd never stop performing. And so, you have this, we were talking earlier before we went on the air, this very fun sort of nom de plume, I guess, or nom de stage at this point, jazz diva. Because you have a lot of jazz numbers, and of course you said that when your voice has a jazz quality to it. What does that mean exactly?
I would say that a lot of the influences that I was kind of grown up on and then continued being influenced by through high school were really jazz related. So when I was developing my sound, I like was drawn to Amy Winehouse and like sounds like that. So I feel like that comes through in my voice a lot. And people are always telling me I'm so jazzy. And
you're so jazzy, Savannah.
And
I like that. Yeah. I like that term.
And I love jazz, so I don't mind it. It's fine.
Yeah, right on. Yeah.
So I think it all really started when I was in theater in high school.
Oh, okay.
We did Anything Goes for the musical, and it's written by Cole Porter.
Yeah.
It's very jazzy. Totally jazz influenced. I played Reno Sweeney, and she was like a nightclub singer, evangelist woman.
Yeah.
And so I had like really big numbers, really big jazz numbers, and like I feel like I got a lot of influence from that.
Fantastic.
Sure.
We're definitely going to talk about that experience at some point, because we do a lot of that. I know Rob and I, before we went on the air, we were talking about theater backgrounds.
Yes, yes, yes. It starts it starts many careers.
It does.
Yes, it does.
A little bit, it does.
Mm-hmm.
My own included. My own included.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's pretty wild. It opens the doors for a lot of people. And on this show, in particular, I'm always, especially with parents, I'm like, if your kids are looking for a creative outlet, push them in. Well, not push them, but introduce them to theater and the performing arts. Would you say that was that what happened with you?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I actually I went to a performing arts middle school, so everything was focused around the arts and the way that we learned, and we did school plays, so everyone was a part of them. And that's when I really started to love acting, because I had acting in my regular courses as well. And I just would say that for any kid, it's such an amazing way to just release your creative energy and to be yourself and be in an environment no one's really going to judge you, and you can just be free to express yourself. And also, like you guys said, there's so many different routes it can take, so there's almost like something for everyone. Because when there's a show, there's like so many people behind the scenes, not only just on stage.
Yeah.
There's
so many
hands that go to putting something together. So it's there's something for everybody, I would say.
Be yourself, but also not yourself.
Yes.
That's true.
Indeed.
Yeah,
yes.
That's how it works.
Well, yours are one of my many hats that I wore. I was actually stage manager for Clear Space Theater for a little while, many years ago, at the high school, Cape Henlopen High School. And I MC the Outdoor Lewis concert series, and when the weather's bad, we do it in the high school. And hands down, that is one of the best venues for any type of live performance in the state.
I know. I love performing there.
It's incredible. It's a professional, I would say Broadway. You could do a small Broadway show and get away with it.
The sound is so great. The lights, everything about it.
The catacombs, the way back there, do not go up in those catacombs to all these students, because everyone wanted to get, it's towering up in there,
up. That was my driver's ed room, actually.
Way up there. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. So that's a great venue, and so you've been on that stage, you understand
that. Yeah, my favorite stage.
You've graduated recently, actually, from Cape Henlopen High School, I think you said in 2017, as a much younger person than Rob or I today, right? As someone that's a high school student, the importance of finding a creative outlet. How does that fit into, let's say, the psyche of a creative person as an artist?
I think that's incredibly important, especially for high school students. There's so much to worry about when you're in high school, and there's class, and there's your grades, and friends, and a lot of people are focusing on sports and stuff like that. But when you're like creative, you can really just, I don't know, there's something about it that really is good for the soul is uplifting, and you can feel proud of yourself. You can do something, you can work for something, practice, and just kind of do it and feel like you accomplished something.
Excellent. And do you feel like it was a satisfying way to itch the scratch of the creativity that you just have building up?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's good. good. Do you think, as someone, with that recent experience, and I know it's difficult because you weren't in high school 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 15 years ago, but through your experience as a young creative person, is it more challenging now to define a venue that works, or is it easier to go off the rails, so to speak, as a young person? Because it seems to me that there are just so many different flashing lights everywhere to say, hey, take your interest and point it over here. Mm-hmm. And that may not always be the best decision for someone. Do you feel like that's a valid?
Yeah, I feel like that's true. Once you're out of high school and you're on your own, you kind of have to look at everything and make your own decisions and decide, does this suit my truth, my path, my vision and everything. So, but also at the same time, you'll play certain venues that maybe the audience isn't exactly your crowd, but I feel like every single thing is part of the journey. So every single part, every performance I do is important, and every step of the way is important as well, even though it can be a little tricky trying to find where you fit in.
Interesting. Do you, before you pick up the mic and start singing during any performance, what goes through your head?
I'm actually super relaxed, believe it or not.
Yeah,
by this
that's
point,
great.
I'm singing all my gig songs and performing my gigs. It's just easy like Sunday morning.
Second nature.
Yeah,
second nature.
I love it.
Yeah, right on.
I feel
on.
I'm ready to start. I'm like, come on, let's get the songs going. Let's go.
Excellent. And you, but
excited,
you grew up in a very musical family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So for our listeners, I mean, the Shockley, your father, your uncle, are there others? I know that those two have made a huge impact on music. Yeah. Over the last 35, 40 years here, without a doubt.
Yeah, seriously. My dad's a drummer, and Uncle Eddie's a singer, and songwriter, and drummer, and pianist, and everybody.
And he's with the Funsters, right?
Mm-hmm, he's with the Funsters.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you grew up in a musical household.
Yes. We always had to sing for our dinner, basically.
Yeah.
And every family gathering, we were gathered around the piano, singing. I was always made to sing everything, what I mean? Every Christmas carol, we always love singing. We always get together and perform together.
Do you guys still do that?
Yeah, every family gathering.
Wow.
Around the piano.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it is fun.
Is that something so would you be able to, for someone that wants to try, maybe a family wants to try something different, maybe they have very young kids, they're like, how can we incorporate more of this? Singing together would be something you'd put on that list?
I would say so. Maybe get a piano or guitar and just play songs you guys like, and just music's fun. Even if you're outside sitting at the beach, if someone has a guitar, you can just play and all do something as a family like that. Or when I was young, I actually started taking piano lessons at 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
So that's how my parents kind of first got me into music. And it is hard when you're that young, when they want you to practice and you don't want to, and it's challenging. You just want to give up. But my parents never let me give up, and they never let me quit piano, and I never wanted to quit. So I just stuck through, and I'm so glad that I did. And I would say, like, to any other parents or kids who want to get into music, taking a lesson like that is really, like, important. That's where I learned, like, the backbone, I would say, of all everything I know about music today. Like,
excellent.
It all tied into that. So
because, as you know, as someone that now performs professionally, mm-hmm. or Rob, anyone, and you have to be dedicated to what you're doing. It's mm-hmm. not something you can just sort of drift in and out of.
Yeah.
Look, everyone, now I'm performing.
Right.
No, you really, and that takes a lot of concentration, a lot of effort.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's been your experience?
Yeah, definitely. It does, because there's always daily things going on in people's lives and stuff, but once you get on the stage, you just drop all of your worries and anxieties, and you just perform, and it, like, always uplifts people.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people's days, and people hear songs that they, like, loved or they hadn't heard in so long, and to hear that, like, kind of response is really rewarding.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As I'm not trying to harp on the whole young performer thing, but you're a young person, which
yeah.
is great. This, a lot of the songs that you sing, a lot of they're from the Great American Songbook, mm-hmm. and we've talked about that a lot on this show. We were talking about it before we went on the air, of course, which is that treasure trove of these phenomenal shows. A lot of them are based on Broadway productions that 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, mm-hmm. and so on, that people hear today, like, wow, that's a great song. Well, it's from the Great American. You cover these songs, and a lot of those songs are very, they're draped, there's a lot of sentiment in these songs.
Yeah.
And people make very personal connections to them when they hear them.
True.
When you hear these songs, when they come across your radar, you're about to perform them, what's going through your head? As someone that may not have had, really, frankly, some of the life experiences that get triggered by these songs. Am I making any sense whatsoever?
No, that does make sense, actually, completely, because people ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how are you so into these older songs? You know, how do you know them, even? And I would just say, I was raised listening to old music. My dad played everything in the car all the time and showed me all the artists. And so a lot of them I already knew, and they have special meaning for me. But a lot of them I learned for the gigs, and through doing gigs, they, like, created a meaning for all of the songs.
What do you mean exactly?
Because since it's been so many years, I've been singing some of the same songs. It's like certain experiences that I go through, I'll sing a lyric and I'll be like, oh, that lyric actually makes sense now. Like, I see what this means. I feel this now. Like, as I, like, grow up and I experience different things, the songs start making more sense and having, like, separate meanings from certain experiences.
Can you give an example of that? Or not that I'm not putting you on the spot. Not like, now that you've opened that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like, I guess take breakups for an example. Like, I went through my first breakup, and a lot of the songs,
sure.
the lyrics meant totally different things to me than what they did before.
Yeah.
Or like,
that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What you just said right there. They mean totally different things to me now than what they did before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you make that connection, does it change your delivery at some point?
I think sometimes. Yeah. Maybe I'll hit, like, a chorus harder if I'm feeling, like, passionate about those lyrics at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if it's really, sometimes I've had nights where songs I'm singing make me cry. And some nights they don't, but some nights
when you're performing on stage,
and no one, like, will really notice, but I'll definitely be, like, choking up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's just sometimes they don't at all, and some days they hit home a different way, and they, I don't know. Sometimes I get so into it too. I'm like, I feel like I am.
Are you when you're doing that? What's the are you acting? I mean, is it like being acting as
like
in a
acting,
drama? And
but
you're...
like, I do, it's real at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
interesting.
It's like
method acting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right on. Yes,
there you go.
Yes, there
yourself,
you go.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah,
thank you, Rob. It is. Yeah,
the,
it is method acting.
Yeah, you put yourself in the shoes of that artist that wrote the song. Like, when we do some Patsy Cline songs, and we do Walking After Midnight and Crazy. And
two great
after
songs.
Singing those songs so many times, I feel like I know Patsy more in a way, and I feel like she was so lonely a lot, and I felt like her pain a lot through the songs.
Interesting.
And like that will get me choked up sometimes.
Yeah. I hear you. So you're channeling these wonderful. I'm not wrapping an esoteric thing around that, but to some degree, you know, it's creative people.
You start to feel where that song
connection.
Came from and what birthed that song.
You're tied into that psyche, which you can channel into a performance. I mean,
without a doubt, without a doubt. I kind of feel like when you're describing this, you're talking about like your experiences are completing the songs in a way.
When
you perform
them, personal and relates them. Yeah.
A full circle delivery, I would imagine. It's filled with all types of fun.
There's a lot of like esoteric stuff going on right now. That's okay by me.
Well, do you actually, as you know, is that part of your experience when you're up there performing? Is there an esoteric to some degree, at least as artists connecting to artists? You're discovering for the first time the meaning of a song,
right.
Or maybe you're seeing a deeper meaning on some mm-hmm. other level?
Yeah, definitely. I think it just depends, like, on the song, and certain songs, it's, like, clear what the meaning means, and then certain songs I can read into more and more as I perform them and start to discover the meaning a little more.
Interesting.
Deeply, yeah.
There, I can't remember, Rob, maybe you remember, it may have been Barbara Streisand, who once said somewhere in a quote, "I'm not a singer, I'm an actress who sings." She was more about, it was
right.
her.
That sounds right. Sounds yeah, I've heard that quote before.
Similar.
Yeah, I've heard that quote before. It's a good one.
I yeah,
that.
It's a good one because she's, everyone's like, oh, but you're the, you know, she, mm-hmm. and she is a phenomenal, you know,
right.
recording artist, but she's like, but I'm but acting is the passion.
That
is that
yeah.
similar for you
yeah,
to some
definitely.
Degree?
Acting is definitely a passion of mine, and I feel like it all definitely ties in together. Because, like you said, when you're singing certain songs and you want to portray a certain emotion or a certain feeling, you're, like, acting in a way. So, and that also reminds me of Beyonce. As
oh, sure.
Because
another one of my
I saw
favorites,
her
actually.
At concert when I was, like, 16 or so, and I was front row. And that,
wow.
like, changed my perspective on a lot because she's such an incredible singer, but she's also an incredible performer and dancer and actress, almost. It's like she's acting because she puts on such an incredible performance, like it's an art display
yeah.
almost. Like
that would have been thrilling.
It was incredible, and it just made me realize that music, because I was at the time really passionate about musical theater, that mm-hmm. was my main focus, but I also love singing. I've always loved singing and songwriting and stuff, and I realized, like, the reason I love doing musical theater so much is because I love big musical numbers and dancing and, like, choreography and everything. But I realized you can tie all of that in with singing too. So
sure,
just
sure.
as a singer, like, when I saw her up there, it was like seeing a musical or, like, a dance performance, but it was a singer. So I thought
wow.
that was really cool. She tied everything in together.
Have you ever thought about composing a song and numbers to go with it, like a big stage
yes,
number, like
that's
Beyonce?
Like my dream, honestly, maybe yeah. one day. Like,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know.
And how
I
would you? How
that.
Does that? How does that process even begin?
It's a good question. Maybe some choreographers and some cool costume changes.
Yeah. That would be thrilling.
Yeah,
I wonder if people, obviously, I mean, people that would see that type of that her in that performance mm-hmm. would be gobsmacked at how much energy it takes
oh
to
gosh.
Put on
in preparation like,
yeah
so
everything cool. has to be timed mm-hmm. you can't oh I'm sorry did I miss my cue there's none of that
no.
you know you're
quick
like
changes.
Everyone's gonna be,
you better not
yeah, that's right.
yeah.
you better not
especially at those ticket prices mm-hmm. right
yeah.
wow
I'd say the closest experience I had to something like that was when I was in theater and we did Aida
oh,
and
yeah.
I was Princess Amneris and she has this whole like scene that's a fashion show and she's like wearing like this nice robe. She's talking to all her girls. They're like the backup dancers. We're talking about jewelry and diamonds, all this stuff. And I have like a huge like change. It's like 30-second change, and uh-huh. I put on this like crazy dress that has like these big wings. Mm-hmm. And I like come down this long set of stairs, and I'm singing like really loud. And I've just got this quick change, and it just really reminded me of that
yeah.
type of energy and like set. So I was like,
I mean, they will literally. I think you know, you read. They just, they're backstage and they just stand like this and someone rips
yep,
the outfit out and throws them on and oh, you're on.
It's just like a rush and you're like
yeah.
rushing and then you get up and you sing this big note and it's just like, I love that. I don't know.
It's thrilling.
It is. So thrilling.
Yeah. What play was I in years ago? Lend Me a Tenor, which was a fun, you know, sort of tongue-in-cheek comedy about a just sort of a goofy guy that worked at a local theater company that had to step into the role of this major opera star who somehow had passed out or something, so he's pretending to be this other person.
Oh my goodness.
And there were several of these scenes where I'm going from this little sweater vest mm-hmm. thing to this, massive Shakespearean, and you had
right, yeah.
35 seconds to,
mm-hmm.
so you would literally
yeah,
just stand backstage, rip off the on, and there, you know, back out.
Get the mic back.
That's thrilling.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is thrilling. It's a lot of fun. And you make it out right on your beat, and it's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the
best
that's
part.
That's a serotonin rush
it
right
is.
There.
It's a rush. I love that.
Have you ever, when you're on stage, and how much time, we got a little bit of time before we get our first break, because just from the conversation we've had, I know that a lot of these songs, as we said, there's a lot of sentiment, and they're probably very emotive, and people can mm-hmm. connect to them very,
right.
Can you see the people connect? Can you see
yeah,
them react?
Definitely.
And
that's
how does that, yeah, well, you tell me about that
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, well, people will be eating dinner, and they'll just turn around and be like, oh my God, this is my favorite song ever. I love this. Or like they'll grab their husband and wife and they'll start slow dancing and, you know, having a little moment. Actually, the one of the most crazy moments that happened to me while singing, there was this like really cute couple and they were having a nice romantic time, and the guy came up to me, he's like, I'm gonna propose to her, can you please sing At Last? And it's a song I do by Etta James, and I was like, oh my god, of course. And I just sang it and he proposed to her and everyone was like, wow. So, I was like crying.
That's phenomenal. So yeah, you literally become part of this eternal memory that these people have. Assuming that they rise above the statistics of divorce, they know that they'll stay together for, you know.
Well, and then even then, you still remember.
It'll say, yes, you're right. Thank you. Memorable. Thank you for bringing me back to my less cynical spot. That's I think that's beautiful. I think that's great. My friend Brian Clark is a brilliant vocalist around there, and he does a lot of fabulous Great American Songbooks as well. Mm-hmm. And we were having a conversation once, and he did mention that usually when he does a show, more times than not, there's someone that gets engaged. You know, they're like, oh, can you sing this song? We'll get married.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. It's pretty special that they wanted me to be the background of their proposal.
Yeah. Does that feel like a big responsibility artistically?
It kind of does, yeah. Because I'm like, she's going to remember this moment the rest of her life. I got to nail this right now.
Can't forget the lyrics right now. You know, like.
But I didn't. I was good.
Excellent.
They loved it. Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, some people will start dancing, getting down to, because we do some disco songs like Boogie Oogie Oogie and Ring My Bell and stuff. Yeah. And people like get so excited, like groups of women, they like haven't heard these songs in so long. And they just get up and dance. Especially I Will Survive. Everyone goes crazy.
Oh, I'm sure that's a great one.
Yeah, that's
after the engagement process down the road,
yeah,
like 15 years
later.
Or so. Yeah, like, oh, I got another request for you this time. I know we have the Cuvée Raid. Where's your other show tonight?
It's at Seaside Grill in Long Neck.
Okay.
2 to 5.
2 to 5. Yeah. So, wait, when you're done with here, you're flying down the road to Long Neck. You're on stage for 5, and then you're flying back to Rehoboth to do another show.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Wild. I love that.
With Saturday traffic.
Yeah, Saturday traffic.
With Saturday traffic.
How does that fit into the thing?
No doubt.
So, I didn't add that in, but we'll see.
Yeah. Is that your normal schedule?
Usually we don't do doubles, sometimes every now and then, but usually we just have one gig every day for the weekends, you know what I mean?
Right,
but today was just one of those days, but I don't mind.
Worked out. It's just a day of being on.
Just on
the air, on stage.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's
I'm
great.
Excited.
On the road, there'll be some of that. Without
a doubt. Yeah, true. On the road,
We've only got like about 30 seconds left before we go to our first break, half hour break. So when we come back, you're going to do a couple. You've got this beautiful green ukulele.
I do.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
It almost is that a? That's not a dogfish.
I was actually just about to ask that very same question.
It's just like we need a dogfish parallel with that, but it's very. It's dogfish got that great brand, but. We're going to have a lot of fun because, hey, ukuleles and great vocals.
Yeah, we got Hawaiian shirts on.
I know. Oh, man, there's a vibe in here
right now.
There really is.
We need tropical drinks.
And, margaritas.
Yeah.
Something. Pina coladas.
Pina coladas.
Rum.
Do you like pina coladas?
Just rum. Entire thing of Bacardi now.
That's right. See, I told you, this is just going to be like crazy laid back show.
Awesome.
So you're working back and you're going to perform a couple. Will any of them be originals?
No, they're not originals.
Well, that's okay. Even better. We'll hear your own original twist on them.
My twist, yes.
All right, folks. That's our outro music for the first half hour break. Don't go anywhere. We're having a blast. We got Savannah Shockley in the house. My friend Rob Sussman's here on the mic as well. I'm your host, Michael Sprouse. It's Coastal A&E, Saturday morning, live from Browse About Books in Rehoboth. We will be right back. You know that rendition? It's really good. It's Annie Lennox. From Eurythmics. Way back. Are you familiar with Annie Lennox? Eurythmics?
Mm-mm.
Not. Oh, my goodness. That's it. Well, yeah.
That was even before my time, technically.
What?
But my mom is a product of the 80s, so.
What was there? They had a huge hit. Annie Lennox. Well, something for you. People ever do that? They're like, oh, do you know this artist from way back? And then you check it out, and they're like, wow.
Yeah. That has happened a few
times. You feel like you've made a new discovery?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, yeah, check out Annie Lennox. I have this thing. I would like to there to be more female performing vocal artists that really just have a sense of who they are, rather than what there seems to be. And we could talk about this for a long time.
Sweet Dreams.
Thank you. Sweet Dreams. You know the song Sweet Dreams?
That's
Annie Lunn.
There we go. Yeah, yeah.
Who's that girl? That's another big song.
She just popped into my head.
She had the short red hair and like crazy. She had a phenomenal British thing. So I realized to me, she was a very powerful, empowered, still is, female musician. And there was a time period. Chrissy Hynde was another one that time. Joan Jett. There were a lot of women that were rock and roll artists at that time. And you don't see that many anymore.
You don't.
Because it becomes sort of dressed in this cloak of, you know, about being attractive and young. And frankly, there's a sexuality wrapped around these performances that at the time period when these women were performing and coming up ranks, they were really creating just really amazing music.
Right,
and that wasn't really necessarily part of the equation. It's different now.
I think maybe social media has probably had a big influence on that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And kind of. There's not as much individuality. You don't see as much individualities.
I agree with you anymore? About that.
Yeah.
So, but what you are doing sounds like it's very unique and
Thank
very
you.
Different. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, because I mean, there, you know, a lot of the performers that do get caught up in whatever that is that we're just referring to.
Right.
You forget about them in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a variation of the same theme.
Same thing you hear.
Yeah, don't want to do that. So you have this really cool. Is that chartreuse? What is that?
I would say. I mean, we were talking about dogfish earlier. I would say that is sea quench green.
Yes, sea quench.
If
L
I had
green.
To say something,
it looks like there's something you could buy at their gift shop right up the street. It's phenomenal. It's a great.
Should.
That's an awesome ukulele.
Yeah, shout out to my cousin Madison for lending it.
Thank you, Madison. You have good taste in ukuleles. I'll tell you that right now. Are you going to? Are we gonna? Are you? Can you do a little?
Yeah, I practiced a little mashup of four songs that all have the same four chords on here that I can do.
Excellent. I think I know that our Facebook Live is sort of floating in and out, but it's more in than it is out right now, and that is at facebook.com/coastalae. If you want to, but we're going to hear you do it as well. So we want to make sure that your mic is good for her vocal as she's close enough to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're going to be 100% fine.
Savannah, yeah, let's hear hear one of your mashup with the super cool ukulele.
All right, here we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Savannah Shockley.
A little bit of a better position.
Oh, there you go. All right. No, it's just a little warm up until
that's
the
right. That's right.
I was premature with my introduction.
That's okay.
Okay. We good?
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. Then I pray, take me soon. Can I start over?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Though I really like your voice.
Thank you.
A lot.
Just need to like warm up a little.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. It's good. We're good.
Sometimes I lay under the moon and I thank God I'm breathing. Then I pray don't take me soon, 'cause I am ill for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around, because Father, 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 help us, and some guidance from above. People got me questioning, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? The love, 'cause you dawned on me and you bet I felt it. Tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks, and now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my best. It's nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. Reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot. get in the way of what I feel for you. Oh, 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 oh.
All right. Thank you so much. That was fabulous.
Thank you.
Fantastic. I absolutely love your voice.
Thank you so much.
No, I'm so glad you did that.
I definitely felt that Amy Winehouse vibe. Yeah, it was definitely there. Yeah.
No,
for
that was
sure.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
What was even cooler is, so where I'm sitting, and I can see, like, you know, the entrance behind you to this room that we brought, and people are like lining up. And that's good.
That's awesome.
Shows you. People are like, wow, where's that great sound coming from? Let's go check that out. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
So you definitively have, as you mentioned, that smoky jazz type of voice to it.
Yeah.
Is that just naturally developed? Is that just when you open your... That's just how it comes out?
That's just
how it comes out. Right on. Nice.
Thank you.
What do you... You know, and there was a way... I don't even know if I'm... How do I even mention this and give it the proper justification? It sounds... There were certain time periods, if you look back over popular music. So let's talk... Let's say, for example, the late 1930s... Let's say 1935 to, like, 1950. And when a lot of the songs from the Great American Songbook were out, women in particular had a very strong alto breathy sound to their voice. Do you know what I'm referencing?
There were a lot more altos.
A lot of that. And so I end up going, is this because, you know, this was the popular sound, or this is the way that performers felt like they needed to sound? Because if you go back to the 1920s, it was a very different sound.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, of course, had to do with the equipment that was being recorded with, which tend to change sound a little bit. But they would have a very higher pitch sort of team, like, let's say, Josephine Baker, that, you know, would have these sort of boopsy-doo type of cutesy little sounds. And they became much more and enveloped during, you know, the pre-war, post-war period. Is there a sound like that today that you recognize, that you think, or does it throw back?
I hear some artists that have that kind of sound. One that came to mind is Kali Uchis, and she takes a lot of her influence from older music too, a lot of soulful things. She actually started her music career, she made an EP where she just took the instrumental tracks from a lot of old soulful songs that she liked, like, from, for example, she took one from the Delegations and she wrote new lyrics on it. And I love her style because she makes it like a new twist on kind of something that's old and is nostalgic and, like, kind of groovy and, like, 70s ish.
Interesting. Yeah. And would they be considered ballads at that point? I mean, what is a ballad per se in a definition?
I guess is a ballad just kind of like more. Is the definition? It's kind of like a song, or like something.
Is it a story? Are you telling
maybe
a story?
Like a story, more of a story song,
Patsy Cline, who you referenced earlier, of course. That's, you know, I grew up outside Nashville, so Patsy, you know, everyone loved Patsy Cline, almost to the point where there used to be this fun little bar, and the waiter's been there for years, and anytime Patsy Cline came on the jukebox, she'd unplug and freak out because she'd heard it so many times. But you know, you're like, enough of the Patsy Cline. But she had a very
she had the alto
that
sound,
great sound, and her songs were stories, right? I mean, she's
totally
singing usually about, you know, being jilted by a bad you know, breakup or something, but, or lonely or something, but her songs were very, very interesting, and the way that she delivered you know, these things, and there's still people to this day that you know, oh, that's our song, or that song has so many memories that sort of take them away to a different place. Do you have songs like that? I know you're up there performing them, but what are the songs that you have that touch you in a particular
I have a
way?
Few songs. The first one that came to mind is it's by Santo and Johnny. It's called Sleepwalk.
I'm not familiar with it.
It's really old. And the second I heard it, it like reminded me of my relationship and like the way I felt when I was like falling in love. This one.
Oh yeah.
And
the guy off camera over here.
It's so pretty. I have it on my phone. It's like an instrumental, and it's just this old vibe, and like the second I heard it, it was like almost like I'd heard it in another life type thing. Like I'd
Interesting.
Heard it, but I hadn't. And it is,
I don't know if we can actually play that on the, but
we can.
That's okay. Sorry. But I will definitely look.
But
what's it called?
It's called Sleepwalk by
Sleepwalk.
Santo and Johnny, and it's just like an instrumental song, and it just is super soulful and like brought me to tears.
Wow.
And I didn't understand
an
why.
Instrumental brought you to tears.
Mm-hmm.
I find that also very interesting because there's no vocals in this, and you
it's
as a vocalist,
the melody of whatever instrument they're playing. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it like tells a story almost with the sound.
Interesting.
And it's beautiful.
What, someone that's older, too. You've acted. You've been in roles. Have you ever done any straight acting, meaning non-musical roles?
Yeah, I have. We did the Laramie Project.
Oh,
that
wow.
Was in theater,
wow, that's
and
an
that
intense.
That was a really serious yeah. one. We did Of Mice and Men.
Sure, Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm, which was wow, a crazy that's one
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, not a light day to pick. No, not at all. Yeah,
and I have like a crazy that. Story about that one. It was me and this other girl who were, you know, about to get the part because there's only one woman in the play. It's Curly's wife. Yeah. And this girl got it. She was a senior and everything. And they practiced. And it was the day of the show and she was really sick. And she had no voice at all. It was gone. And they like called me in and were like,
whoa.
Can you play this tonight? And I like got excused from all my classes at school that day. And I just sat in the theater that whole day and learned all the lines.
What?
In one day and like went on that night.
That shouldn't
insanity.
Be possible.
No, that
should
crazy.
Not be possible at all.
I still don't know how that
I'm wildly impressed.
I am incredibly impressed. That is.
Hey, by the way, what are you doing tonight?
Play. Obscene amounts
Here's
of difficulty.
You know, that's a lot. Yeah.
A big script, so.
And a. It went well?
It went great.
That's phenomenal.
I didn't miss a line.
Oh, my God.
Think,
what a great story to have in your pocket.
They
That's fabulous.
They had signs off stage for me to make sure, like, my lines hit them. But I felt like I did great. Like, I had a great time. I don't know how it went so smoothly still to this
wow.
day. But it was awesome.
That's
I'm so
brilliant.
Glad I was able to have that experience. Like,
That's
yeah,
a great
really
story. Good. I'm so glad you yeah. shared that.
Thank
indeed.
You.
Hey, listen, folks, I need to give a quick shout-out to one of the sponsors of Coastal Line, the Residences of Lighthouse Cove, Dewey Beach. Do you, let's try that again. Do you like the idea of luxury living? Well, that's exactly what you'll find. The Residences at Lighthouse Cove Dewey Beach. They feature brand new 1, 2, and 3 and bedroom luxury condominiums nestled directly next to Redwood Bay in the heart of Dewey Beach, Delaware. If I ever get through this promo properly, Robin. So hang in here with me, folks. The Residences feature resort-filled amenities, incredible bay views, bayside dining, and much more. They're family-built, family-inspired, and family-operated. All designed specifically for you at 1301 Coastal Highway in Dewey Beach. So, welcome to luxury living in Dewey Beach. For more information about the Residences of Lighthouse Cove, visit them online at www.theresidencesde.com. I usually get through that, Savannah, with a bit more fluidity. I'm very excited about talking about the music performance. I get totally thrown off track. So the show you're doing, really, in about an hour and a half, a couple of hours, where again is that? It's in Dewey Beach?
Seaside, in Long Neck,
actually. Long Neck.
It's near, like, Potnets and Paradise. Like, if you pass Paradise Grill, you just keep going straight down. It's all the way at the end of that road. It's really
nice.
Pretty. It's, like, on the water. It's all sandy floor. It's
really
nice.
Fabulous.
Yeah,
excellent.
Pretty, I like it.
And then Cuvée Race tonight. What time is the show tonight,
Cuvée? Cuvée is 8 to 10:30.
8 to 10:30.
I'll be back.
Excellent. And that's you. Is it just you and your father, or there?
It's just us. But every now and then we do have other people fill in, or like sometimes we have a friend play trumpet with us. We used to have a guy play saxophone every now and then, but tonight it's just going to be us two.
Right on. And you know a lot of the local musicians because you grew up around most of them. And does everyone, it's sort of that like, like extended family of musicians type of thing?
True, yeah. And
fun.
Like everyone knows each other in this town. It's like everyone knows everyone. And I feel like it's like a huge family.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Actually, the first time I actually did see you perform once, I believe it was for Hospitality Night in downtown Lewis during a year or two ago. And you were out there and it was wonderful.
Thank you.
And there's a nice crowd gathered around and you guys are doing, holiday carols.
Yeah, that's always fun time.
That was like, is that a regular gig for
you? Yeah, we've been doing that, I think, like the past 3 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah,
what's your favorite type of, when if you had to choose, we already talked about like the big dance numbers and everything, but let's say that you were going to, there was something around here that would you find compelling as an artist, what would that venue be? Would it be a large venue? Would it be a smaller, more intimate?
I would say like a larger venue, but still intimate, like where everyone's standing and like watching. Like kind of like in Dewey, like some of those restaurants where it's like lights on the stage and like a bigger crowd. I played at the Dewey Beach Music Festival 2 years ago, I think, and at the Rudder, and that was an amazing time because like the lights were on me. I had like people like under
me. That's cool. Like
and like that's like the energy of that is just my favorite to perform in, like because it just amps me up and makes me perform like 10 times better.
Wow, right on. Yeah. What is that? I was having a conversation. I've had a conversation with several musicians, over the years, and off camera, we occasionally get into the conversation about, especially if they're playing in different restaurants and venues where you have to get a little thick skin because a lot of people are there, having dinner and conversation, doing shots. What is that all about?
Yeah, you just have to know you're there to make the night you're not there to provide music for everyone. They're not there really to see you. They're there to eat, unless they came to see you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're performing in like a restaurant type vibe, you're there to make the evening light, make the evening happier for everyone who's dining in. So you can't, like you said, you have to get kind of thick skinned. Not everyone's going to be like watching you or clapping after every song all of the time.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's part of, like we said,
some nights we'd be at a restaurant, it's so quiet, there's only a few people there or something, and it's like you're getting paid to practice almost.
Hey, that's a good way. Yeah. Yes, that's a great way to put it out there.
Okay, yeah.
And do people often like give you a request? Oh, can you please play this?
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. And sometimes we will have the song, luckily, but then a lot of times we don't. Who is it that everyone's always asking for? Someone like Leonard Skinner or something.
Oh, really?
Like,
what?
It's kind of like some. Right,
they're not yelling Freebird at you, are they? Are they seriously yelling Freebird at you?
Freebird?
Yes. When I was in Dewey, people would be like Freebird.
Oh no!
Like, what?
Oh man! Come on. Do you know the song? It's a great song. It's a classic Southern rock song. But
have some tact.
There's like, wait a second. This is two people. The drum set and the microphone.
There's nothing wrong with Freebird at all.
No.
But the problem is yelling it at everybody who has a musical instrument that you can possibly. Between that and Wonderwall, give me a break.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, look, man, they're musicians. Freebird! It's crazy.
There's always a guy at the bar. Freebird!
Yeah. Just tell them, go back to your Camaro in the parking lot and drive back to 1978. You'll be fine, dude. Yeah, that's okay.
2019.
Well, that would be an interesting. I think it's fun to hear the stories about people that are on stage performing because all these different things are happening around them. It's a very unique view to be up on that stage.
Yeah, because you're watching everyone. You're seeing everything that's going on, even if they don't really think. But I do a lot of people watching while I'm up there. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I bet you do. Wow, I think that would be. I think it's a fun thing. You must enjoy it.
Yeah. I do. It's really cool. It's like being a fly on the wall, but you're like also everyone sees and hears you at the same time. So it's kind of confusing.
A really loud fly on the wall.
A really loud fly on the wall. Yeah,
right. That is pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, those aren't bad flies.
Like a normal fly on the wall.
Not a normal fly. That's quite annoying.
So and is this your normal thing? Is I work professionally here. Are you in other towns or is it mostly? And the Rehoboth Lewis.
Mostly here. I do have an apartment in Charlottesville, Virginia, so I'm living there part-time. I was going to school, and I did like a few gigs around there, but not as many as here because it's kind of hard to get in the scene when you don't have like a full band. So,
in your mind's eye of future things I want to accomplish, what would that be in connection to you as a vocalist, as a performer?
Right. I would like to release my EP. I have been working on like an EP,
fantastic.
So I have like 5 to 6 songs that I've wrote and produced myself on my computer, but I'm like a perfectionist, so I've been working on them over and over, and I think I might need like help from maybe a production team or maybe have some people like actually record some parts in for me. So it's been taking me a while to release, but that is on the way, and I'm really excited to release that. And once I do, I want to make music videos for some of the songs.
Yeah.
And for performing, I'd love to get like a full band together of people and just perform bigger venues and stuff.
Yeah.
And
do you like horn sections, horns with you? I love horn sections.
I love trumpet and I love sax. And to have both would be awesome. To have maybe a backup singer would be really cool to do harmonies.
Yeah,
with me,
like three backup singers. Mm-hmm. You know, like what would Aretha Franklin do? Yes. That's what I always like. She has these great. There's some amazing videos of Aretha Franklin from a concert in California. I want to say from 1969 or 1970. Mm-hmm. And she does a couple of versions of some of her hits, and her backup singers are mesmerizing.
Oh, I love it.
That'd mesmerizing.
Be very, very fun. So
she's great in herself, but wow, talk so about fun. That type of vibe.
I love that. Yeah, so definitely building a bigger band would be one That'd of my goals awesome. For the near future.
Have you? I don't know how much. We don't have a whole lot of time left at all, but I've really. Let me just say that you've been a treat on the air.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you so much. I'm really so glad that we did this, and I'm looking forward to doing it again at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But have you had musical experiences of performers you've seen live outside of Beyonce, which I'm sure was phenomenal, that have just blown you away? They're like, I'm this is going to stay in my memory banks henceforth. Yeah, have you had any of those?
Any more of those?
Yeah, no. Have you had any that really stand out that you're like?
Yeah, I saw the first one that came to mind was Muse. They were at Firefly, and they put on such an incredible performance because every single instrument was live, being live played live, you know what I mean? So, and it was just, oh my gosh, like I was amazed by it. It was just such a like raw performance and like just beautiful, like amazing. Who else have I seen? I've seen a lot of people because I've been going to Firefly for like 5 years
in
a row.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot comes to mind.
That's okay. I mean, but I'm just curious. I love to hear other people's influences as to, you know, what they think is an amazing performance.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw Kendrick Lamar last.
Last
summer, and that was a really good performance that he put on. He mashed up like a lot of his songs into like one song, and he had fireworks going off, and like really cool fireworks. Visual displays, which are always.
Have to have the fireworks.
Man. I know.
Remember, stop, drop, and roll, just in case.
Right.
We got.
Careful.
It's a little too insane.
That's right. Kaboom, fireworks. We've got 60 seconds left. Thank you so much, Savannah. Rob, thank you too, man.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, this is really so much fun. People can, is it open tonight to get tickets to go see you?
Yeah, you can come see us Seaside Grill in Long Neck, and you can come to Cuvée Ray's. It's 8 to 10:30, and those are both free, and you can enjoy drinks and food and... good time, good music.
Yeah. Let's highly suggest people do that. Are you on Facebook?
I have a Facebook
page. Let's give a shout out to that.
Yeah, it's the Savannah Band, and I also have a page just Savannah Shockley for my personal music. And I also have a YouTube channel where I post covers that I record.
Nice. So give it. Do you have the quick URL for that?
It's just youtube.com/Savannah Shockley, and you can subscribe and check out. I'm trying to post a video at least once a week for.
Right on.
For
Savannah. Covers, so. The name is that your birth name, or are you named after the road?
That's my birth name.
Excellent. Savannah Fabulous. Shockley, road's named after you. Or should be if it isn't already. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me here on Creative Coast today. I've had a blast. Michael Sprouse, I'm your host. I'll definitely be back here next Saturday broadcasting live from Browse About Books. Do something creative this week, folks. Go out and make it a good one. I'll be seeing you next Saturday.